Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
We love you, Jesus. Come on, just tell the Lord, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We magnify you, Lord. Praise you. You know what I feel so strong in my heart? I feel the presence of the Lord just available to really zero in on areas of frustration, agitation, discomfort, pain, difficulty. And this might surprise you, but I'm actually feel like the Lord is speaking to me that there are a number of you that are really struggling at work, in your work life. And it's like, you can't wait for the weekend. You can be seated just for a second. Can't wait for the weekend, but work is just like really grating on you right now. Some of you, it might be ministry. There might be an area of frustration in ministry for you. It's like things are good, except this is just one area. And I believe in those areas where we are frustrated, God can release an anointing of ease over us to just relax that peace. Your whole life, your whole 40 hours doesn't have to be full of tension and frustration. There really is a grace, and there really is a mercy, and I want us to just receive that. So if, and for some of you, just as I'm saying this, like parenting right now is really difficult for you. Just being a mom or a dad, just draining you. I believe God can turn that around and give you grace and give you peace in areas of work and ministry and family that would be significant and tangible. How many need something like that this morning? If that's you, just stand up right where you are. We're going to have special prayer. Just either at work or at home or some area that's just grating on you, and you want the joy back. You want the ease back. I want you just to lift your hands right where you are and just receive. Let's just take the cup of faith. Let's dip it into the river of grace right now by faith and just receive what God has for us. Father, I just speak, Lord, over areas of frustration and difficulty in ministry or in work or in parenting, family, Lord, marriage aggravations. Lord, I release a specific ease, Lord, a grace, Lord, that causes maybe not the circumstance to change all that much, but just the way we respond and react, Lord. Lord, break the aggravation. I come against the assignment of the enemy to make us miserable. Miserable at work and miserable at home and miserable in ministry. Lord, let your mercy break misery right now and let your grace ease, Lord. Lord, let there be a new grace and a new ease about our school life and our work life and in every area, Lord. We thank you. Holy Spirit, we invite you just to come right in and fellowship with us. Bring your mercy right into that place in our lives, and we receive this, Lord, by faith. Now I just say to you in the authority of the Lord Jesus, this week has got to be different for you. You've got to make up your mind right now. I'm turning a page on misery. I'm turning a page. I'm going to let the past be the past, and I'm going to start fresh with my work, with my ministry, whatever it is. I'm going to start fresh with my family, and it's going to be a new day. I want you just to receive that. Everybody say, new day. Say, I'm turning the page, and now the ease begins. I receive this now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
All right, how many are ready for the Word of God? Three of you. That's overwhelming. Thank you. How many are ready for the Word of God? Listen. One thing that makes our church a place where people's lives change is because we build on this book right here. This is what changes a person's life. This is our guidebook. This is our pathway into God's power. And so whenever we share scripture, we share his word, it ends up inspiring us and changing our lives. Now, this is a little bit of a different setup up here. I guess you can see that. We're going to kind of move back and forth over the next few weeks in a series that I'm calling Let's Talk. And Let's Talk is going to be a conversation. It's going to be real issues and honest stories. We're going to hear testimonies from people right here in our congregation, including today, where we talk through issues that will help us to move kind of to a better place in our lives, to live life with greater abundance. But these are kind of issues that require a little bit of honesty, a little bit of truth, maybe a different format so that we can all go to a better place in our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. And today, to kick this series off, we're going to be coming together around the subject of let's talk about suffering. I don't know if you've thought much about the area of suffering, but it's something that people think about an awful lot. Every single person in this room in one way or another has experienced it. And suffering becomes a time where we start to ask spiritual questions. A very famous author, Lee Strobel, did a survey of thousands of Americans, both saved and unsaved, people that know Jesus and do not know Jesus. And he asked them, if you could have one question for God, if you could just ask God one question in your life, what would it be? And do you know that people came back, the vast majority of people gave this answer. We would like to know the answer to this question, God. Why is there suffering in the world? How many of you have ever asked that question? Three of you. Okay, again. Why is there suffering in the world? I thought it was kind of humorous that Lee Strobel also disclosed the results of that survey, that it was largely married people who were asking that question. Why is there so much? No, that's really true, and I don't know why the answer to that is. Maybe married people are thinking more about suffering, I'm not sure. But anyway, we're all curious about suffering. Why is there suffering and evil and pain? I opened up the news this morning and saw that once again, ISIS, for the how many times has it already happened? Now they led another 20 or 25 Somali Christians to the beach and beheaded them. You know, there are diseases in the world, and on and on and on it goes. Why? Why, if God is good, does he allow things like this to happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? And the truth is that we don't totally know. And we may not see it very clearly until we get to heaven. I want to bring a scripture to you this morning. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and this is the Message translation. I want you to track with this. This is Paul the Apostle, one of the greatest theologians that's ever lived, one of the wisest people, one of the greatest understanders of God. He said this, we don't see things clearly. We just don't. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. Hallelujah. We'll see it all then. We'll see it all as clearly as God sees us. One of the things we have to reckon with at this time in history, where Jesus has come to set things right, it's already and not yet. So we're waiting for his soon appearing, for everything to be clear to us. Right now, it's like a very confusing time because we have God's promises, but not everything has been ultimately fulfilled. So we live in a very difficult time. When I think about this idea of not hearing or not seeing God clearly, I can't help but think about a time when Kathy and I and my parents were on a drive in Hawaii and the sun was just going down and suddenly we entered into this furious rainstorm. I've never been in rain that was coming down literally in sheets. It wasn't drops. It was like rain bombs. It was like the sky was just pouring out over us and the windshield wipers, we're driving, and of course windshield wipers were on full. But that wasn't anywhere near fast enough to clear the windshield from so that we could see. And of course, there was quite a bit of traffic and it was a two-lane road and everybody was slowing down. The sun was going down and it was a little bit scary because the ocean was over here and the mountain was over here. And you got this two-lane road and it was very, very hard to see. And what I noticed in that moment was that I could move forward and I could get a feeling of safety simply by looking at the taillights of the car in front of me. That was all I could see. I couldn't see anything else. Rearview mirror wasn't helping me. I had no sense of the world around me outside the car except just the faint picture of the taillights that were ahead of me. And I felt like the Lord showed me at that time, and I've thought about it ever since. It's kind of like what Paul is saying. We don't see things clearly right now, but there are some things that we can focus on to help us to move forward in our lives. Suffering is kind of like that. We don't see the reasons for suffering very clearly. Our view is partial. It's not a complete view. But there are some things about suffering that we can understand if God will show us. Now, in this series called Let's Talk, we're also inviting you to join us in the conversation. You watch our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter. I don't know how we would be able to use Instagram in this, but we would like to enter into a conversation. You'll notice me posting from time to time over the next few weeks questions. I posted a question just a few days ago, and I got some very interesting answers. My question was, why is there suffering in the world? And how do we get through it? And this is what people were writing back on social media. Nate said, God is the only way I know to get through suffering. Not just getting through it, but ending up stronger and in a better place than before. Knowing and believing God's promises and truths about you and your situation is huge. Kate said, I love this, suffering is our opportunity to draw near to God or push him away. Our choice. Wow. Carol said, how do you get through it? Multiple ways. One of them being, don't hide. Recognize those around you who really do care and receive the support they're offering you. That's powerful. Margaret said, suffering is to build our compassion and our faith. Suzanne from our Santa Rosa campus, she said, she shared a little testimony. She said, I wouldn't be able to get through my days or nights without God. My chronic pain leaves me just sitting by myself. Sometimes it hurts so bad, all I can do is sit. Without God, I would be so depressed. This morning, my pain was so bad, I couldn't get out of bed because the pain was so intense, I couldn't move. That's the time that I spend with God. I pray, I sing, and I do my stretching. And she says this, God is always waiting to hear from me. He's waiting to hear from you too. Isn't that good? Deborah says, I'm not sure why there's suffering in the world, but I know that when you're suffering, however, that God's love and the love of others helps to give you strength and hope and faith. Those are great, great answers. Why is there suffering and how do we get through it? I'd like to bring up one of our favorite characters around here to kick this series off. Pastor Gary Avila is a senior associate pastor at Gateway. And yeah, that's right. You can clap for him. Pastor Gary, come on. Pastor Gary was ordained in this church 37 years ago by that man sitting on the front row, Apostle C. And he's been part of our spiritual family for all these years, working with me, one of my best guys. But he's been through, as some of you know, a tremendous difficulty the last few years. And I'm going to let him tell his story, but I want to just read something, Gary, that you wrote. You wrote on Facebook just a few weeks ago, and I thought it was very appropriate for this morning. You wrote this, in Scripture, the wind, rain, and waves represent the opposition that we face in this life. Very real, not imagined. God's promise to us is if we hear his word and believe and practice his word, we will not only survive the trials of life, we will actually be stronger than we were before the storms. Through 8 surgeries in 8 years, my pride, my critical spirit, and my independence has taken a beating. Through the mercy of God, the love of my family, and the prayers of God's people, I am still standing. In spite of all the scars, physically and emotionally, and my need at times for a walking cane, I am believing for his strength to be my portion so I can lead my family and serve God's people. In all this, I pray that my life will bring honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those are powerful words, Gary. Yeah, go ahead. That's great. Tell us You know, we're talking about suffering. What's been happening in your life?
I wrote those words. I don't sleep very well. I go downstairs and eat something, watch TV, get on the computer. I wrote that about 3 a.m. on drugs. I was surprised to read it the next day that it made sense. 8 years ago, I was putting my left foot down to push the clutch in of my 350Z black chrome wheels, 300 horsepower. Black Fury, my granddaughter called her. It was beautiful. My foot didn't go down. I started shaking and went to the doctor, went to a neurologist, and he examined me and he said, you're going to need surgery. I go, wait, MRIs, ice, you know, heat, massage. He goes, no, I'll put $20. It'll be C3 and C4.
Wow.
I said, well, how about an MRI? He goes, yeah, we're going to do that, but... So anyway, I left a little unnerved. Eventually, everything came back, and it showed that I'd had a blown disc and herniated, and it was pressing on my spinal cord. So I had surgery, and they took out the blown disc and bone spurs, and they from the front, and they took out all that stuff and put... a plate and some screws and fuse those. And over these 8 years, I've had 6 spinal surgeries, 2 from the front, 2 from the back of the neck, and 2 from in the back on my lumbar. So I have C3, 4, and 5 fused from the front with screws and plates. From the back, I have C2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, T1 fused from the back with titanium rods and screws. And on my lumbar, on 3 levels, I have fusion and titanium rods. And they put springs in before they put the screws through the rods into my vertebrae. They put springs so that I sit down, I got a little give, you know. I didn't know, but I'm hoping they put, you know, sports suspension. I think they put Turing. It's kind of slow and easy. So with all that titanium in me, 26 screws and plates and rods, it's been very difficult. And then 2.5 months ago, trying to get through all the therapy from my back and my legs and my neck. I blew out my elbow at some point, and so they said, we got to get you a new elbow. Said, do people donate elbows? I'm not. How does that work?
You go to the store.
We'll build you a new one in titanium and plastic and glue and duct tape, and so still there. But accidentally, they cut the ulnar nerve. So I'm getting therapy to use my hand again, and my arm's getting better. My mom passed away a couple of months ago, and it's hard to funerals. I hate funerals.
Yeah,
funerals and painting. But it's part of life, I know. But when you have to do your own mom's funeral, it's hard. It's been really hard.
Yeah,
I see things that remind me of her. So, yeah, it's been a hard 8 years. Starting, stopping, getting off the drugs, getting more drugs, all the Oxycontin and Oxycodone and Dilaudid and Percocet. I got a list.
It's a trial.
It's a trial of keeping my mind straight and clear.
So 8 years, you're pressing on your clutch, your leg is, and you're not thinking at that time that you're going to be facing 8 years of on and off, start and stop, pain, surgery. Gary has worked like a man from another world for his whole life, especially in ministry, extremely hard work, and then suddenly not able to do his job, not knowing that there would be another surgery or another surgery. And it just like a steady train of bad news and difficulty. And I know that many of you know exactly what he's talking about because you've been through similar kinds of sufferings. I wonder, Gary, that's what's happened medically. How did it affect you? What can you tell us about the sense of loss or how you've experienced all this pain and difficulty?
You originally wanted to talk about anger. I said, I could do that one.
We'll do that. Yeah, we're going to do that.
And then you changed and said, we're going to do suffering. And then I got angry.
Yes.
I'm not exactly overcoming suffering or I'm through it. But regarding my faith, you know, I've been a Christian since 1971. And I love the word because it saved my life. It gave me back my brain. And it's been so wonderful that I have the opportunity to teach others. God's given me a clear mind. All the medication, all the surgeries, all the anesthesia, it's really fogged my mind, and it's frustrating. The pain, it pushes on you. The hurt, whether it's physical or emotional, people have lost things and dreams crashed and gotten divorced. There's deep pain, and it hurts so much. But then it also pushes on you, and it wants to push you away, disconnect you from the people you love, the church even, and put you in a corner because you're really no good anymore. People are tired of seeing you in pain and fighting against that constantly because everyone speaks to me, prophesies. You're all under God. You're okay. You're not being punished. Apostle C, I'm in Sister C, they call me from Hawaii and they preach to me and they prophesy and they sing to me. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
When I see the phone and you call me and you encourage me, people call all the time to encourage and let's go out to lunch. Lisa Wander is such a wonderful man. Our head usher, he's always calling me. Let's go out to eat. Pain does that, wants to isolate you, and you got to fight against it. While you hurt, you have to fight against being isolated. And the church has been so wonderful. And it has affected my faith because I have to look at my theology about suffering and pain. And I can see different scriptures about suffering, and it looks different now when I read it while I'm suffering. I do know my Savior a little bit better when I'm hurting. I can feel his heart. I know he loves me. I know he's with me. For my family, it's been hard because my wife works full-time and takes care of me full-time. And she spent her vacation time, PTO, to be with me. And I just get tired of everyone wanting to take care of me.
It's hard to be needy. Struggle to be needy. Struggle to be weak. You're not used to being weak.
Lame. Tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about...
Not a good MO.
I know you don't see everything clearly, Gary, and we never... None of us do. But you are a man of faith. I know you're drawing something out of this time. I know the Lord is teaching you. What would you say to people that are also suffering in different ways or may yet suffer, what's your advice about going through hard times like this?
One of the surgeries, while at the hospital, the mixture of anesthesia and sleeping pills and the meds they gave me a nightmare, like no other nightmare. This was like tasting hell. I was trying to wake up so hard, and I couldn't wake up. It took me a half hour. Nurses were trying to get me up because I was doing tearing things out of my arms, IVs, and going, you know, not so smart. So the dream was I was the old Gary. That was a nightmare. It wasn't me. When I go to bed, I fall asleep, and I wake up. I mean, in my dream, I'm Gary. I'm a minister. Mm-hmm. But in my dream, I was the old Gary. And it was terrified me. So I was trying to wake up, and darkness was around me, and I just couldn't wake up. And then I said, wait a minute. I'm not someone you can just push around. I'm not just some guy. I'm a man of God.
Amen.
I'm a pastor. I'm a minister. Stop this. And the Holy Spirit said, pray in tongues. I said, oh, yeah, I forgot. And then I started praying in tongues. Don't forget to pray in tongues.
Amen.
When you're hurting.
Yeah.
I mean to tell you, it's good. Powerful. Pray in tongues, and then things lifted, and I felt I could breathe, and I started to wake up out of the nightmare. And then I stopped, and I listened, and then I heard, Lord, help Pastor Gary mm-hmm. right now. Strengthen him. Lord, protect Pastor Gary. Lord, heal Pastor Gary. I could actually hear the prayers of the saints. Mm-hmm. And I know you can't, I can't swear to God. But if I could, I would. It happened, you know. I heard. It was so overwhelming. I just felt the presence of God. And say, gosh, in the middle of this pain, and it really hurts, I feel God so with me.
Yeah.
And so my faith was lifted by the prayers of the saints. Mm. Keep letting people pray for you.
Yeah.
When people come by, Pastor Gary, let me pray for you. And, you know, it's just an 18-year-old kid. I go, sure, I'll take it. You could have the gift. And the word, mm-hmm. stay reading, because your natural mind is confused.
Right.
It's got drugs. It's got fear. It's got questions. But the spiritual mind, when you read the word, it wakes up. And then you hear God's voice again. And I don't make light of a real diagnosis of bipolar. It's a real thing. But all of us have two minds. Mm-hmm. We have a spiritual mind and we have a carnal mind. Mm-hmm. And you have to feed your spiritual mind.
Right.
You got to read the word.
Yeah.
You just got to read it. Maybe just two verses. And that's all. It'll get in and wake up stuff. And I was so thankful for that. And praying yourself, talking to God. It's hard to talk and ask questions because you don't know what the answer may be. Mm-hmm. But if you ask God something, he will answer you. Mm-hmm. When my dad passed away, I was afraid to ask the Lord, is he with you, Lord? I didn't want to talk to him because I might hear no.
Right.
But then when I asked him one night, I said, Lord, is my dad with you? He said, do you trust in my mercy? I said, wow. If it wasn't for your mercy, I'd be in the drunk tank right now.
Yeah.
Or dead. Yes, Lord. Then trust me with your dad. That was all I needed.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Don't be afraid to ask a question when you're hurting. He'll answer you.
Right.
His mercy is far greater than we think. Way more than we think.
Right.
And it's wonderful. Because if you go inside when you're hurting, when you're suffering, when you go inside, make sure you take the Holy Spirit as a guide. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, you will free fall emotionally. Mm-hmm. And you don't know how low you can go. It's deep down. It's deeper than your own physical body.
It's a
spiritual place.
Yeah, big place.
And man, the enemy will start lying, and the enemy will start going to town. Don't go down there. Don't go down there. But let the Holy Spirit dig up the things he wants to while you're hurting. Like I said, my pride, myself, I have great defense mechanisms, blocking things. But God got in and started to do things. And the gift of a little more humility came as a result of all of this. And I'm a little more humble. And that's a good thing because grace comes and helps me. And I have I have more mercy and comfort to help others now because of what God's given to me during this time.
Awesome. Those are powerful words. Let's tell Pastor Gary we appreciate that. That's good advice, good direction. My heart is very full of so many things. First of all, I want you guys all to know how much I love and respect this guy. What you see here in him opening his heart and being so vulnerable with us, very difficult for any man to do, especially a man of faith and power. But he's doing that because he lives for ministry. You know, Pastor Gary's the guy that told me as a 14-year-old that I should be water baptized. That's how long I've known him, and that's the place that he's been. He's been serving people for a long, long time and guiding people. You think, well, why would you want him to tell this story? He's obviously going through, it's obviously painful just for him to, you know, let his guard down and let us all see what's going on. He's making himself vulnerable. But see, that's who he is, and that's what I respect about Gary Avila, is that he wants to touch and help and serve and minister. And Gary, I have a faith that has never wavered in my heart for you, that you're going to get your life back, that you're going to get your ministry back, and that the platform that you've always stood on, which is your past and your testimony of what God is doing, the platform is going to be larger, not smaller, in the future, larger for you. And as bad as this is, I totally believe what I'm saying, and I know our church is standing with me in faith. How many of you stand with me in faith that Gary's going to get it all back, plus some? So I'm asking you to pray for Pastor Gary. Pastor Gary does not need your pity. He doesn't need your medical advice. He probably doesn't need that. What he needs is prayer and faith, because this is what God answers to. And your love, of course, is super healing. And again, Gary, I want to thank you for opening your heart, and thank you for everything you've done to minister to the church as best you can through this time. Gary's been like a mad worker, crazy worker his whole life, and it's hard for him when his body doesn't, when his get up and go, got up and went, you know, and it's tough. So thank you for bringing it as best you can, and we got this. Until you're back, it's going to be okay, and the best is yet to come. Amen. One more time, let's tell him thank you. Yeah. Let's stay right here. Look at that. I like that. Yeah. Thank you. Now, Gary's going to just stay with me in a few minutes. We're going to pray together for you. If you're going through a hard time, we got faith for you. But I want to just point out, if I could, from the Word, because as Gary's saying, it's the Word that really guides you. I want to bring us to some scriptures this morning. You've got a teaching outline. I'll just move quickly through these things. These are four taillights, if you will. Four things we can look at in our storm. When we can't see everything, we can at least see a few things from God's Word about the area of suffering. First of all, I want everyone here to understand that suffering is not God's doing. God did not do this to Pastor Gary. God does not introduce starvation or rape or beheading or disease. Those things do not come from God. Well, then where do they come from? And the sad truth is we kind of have opened the door. The first point is that suffering isn't God's doing. Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he had made and it was good. God created a perfect world. So then how did we get into this jam? The Bible says this: the earth suffers for the sins of its people, for they have twisted God's instructions, violated his laws, and broken his everlasting covenant. Pastor David, what do you mean? You mean if I'm suffering, it's because I've sinned? No. But the world got broken through sin. Disease entered the world. Violence entered the world. Racism entered the world. Hatred, greed, all of those things that are drivers of human suffering. God didn't create those things. Man invited them in. In fact, God specifically warned us don't sin, don't turn your back on me, because he knew what would be unleashed into the world. So we live in a broken world, and it's very tempting. You know, this perfect world that God created that got broken through sin is very tempting for human beings, and many of them do, shake their fist at God and say, where are you? Why did you do this to me? But the truth is this, and maybe you just want to jot this down. God did not create evil and suffering, but he sent Christ, his son, to relieve it. Amen. Let's get it straight that we broke the world, sin broke the world, the human race broke the world, but God is the one that is sending redemption and life and relief. The Bible says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I hope you have opened your heart to Christ, because ultimately, if you're suffering, there's only one way that you're going to find relief, and that is in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Titus 3 says, when the kindness and love of God our Savior was revealed, he saved us. It was not because of any good deeds that we ourselves had done. And I would add, it is not because of any bad deeds that a person suffers. But because of his own, what, church? Mercy. His mercy that saves us through the Holy Spirit, gives us new birth and new life by washing us. He's the one that gives us the do-over. He's the one that rescues us and lifts us out of our suffering and sin. And it's a process, but Jesus came for that very purpose, to destroy the works of the devil and to bring healing. By the way, I want to let you know that God sets the limits on suffering too. It's not open season for anybody. If you know the Lord and you're hurting, here's a man of God who's spent his life serving Jesus and he's suffering right now. So, I mean, let that release you from a burden like, you know, I deserve to suffer because, no, righteous people suffer. It's a big question, but I want you to know that God sets the limits, just like he did with Job. He told the devil, you're going to go this far, but you're going no further. And God is protecting you and helping you even right now. The second thing, second taillight, if you will, is this, that suffering isn't good, but God redeems it for good. Let's get that clear. God's a redeemer. Romans 8:28, and we know that some things work together. Is that what it says? And we know that all things work together for what? For good, to those who love God and those who are called according. See, there's a redemption somewhere in your pain. He'll turn your pain somehow into gain. The pain isn't good, but what God does with it can be good if you turn it over to him. The key is our response. The key is how we respond to him. Let me make mention of this. Pain is inevitable. There's no question that every human being is going to hurt at some point. You know, life is a painful process. But being miserable is a choice that we make, right? We're all going to hurt. That's unavoidable. But misery, choosing to be bitter and mad and angry and all of that, that's the choice that we have to make in the midst of it. Here's the third piece. The third taillight is suffering can be offset by means of prayer. Pastor Gary's testimony, you know, Gary, you that experience you had in the hospital, when you heard people praying for you, I believe God just pulled back the curtain between you and eternity and allowed you to experience something supernatural where people were praying. Prayer is not an instant relief. You know, it's not pixie dust to make all the hurt and pain in life go away instantaneously. But God calls us to prayer when we're suffering because that's where there is relief. And the Bible says, James 5, if you're suffering, you should pray. And even allow the elders to come and pray over you if you're suffering physically. You wanted to run and hide, right? It's tough to receive prayer. But there is something about prayer that relieves. And you yourself, talk to God. You know, he'll bend his ear down and he'll hear you when you're talking to him. And that will offset the experience of suffering. Prayer is such a powerful gift. Matter of fact, next Sunday is Super Sunday for marrieds. Well, really, everybody's going to be blessed next Sunday. Chandler Cleveland's coming. to minister, and his subject on Sunday morning is the power of couple prayer, the power of praying together as a husband and wife. Singles will be helped by this. Divorcees, everybody's going to be encouraged about the power of prayer to change your world and your life. Here's the last piece before we get ready. Musicians are going to come, but I want to say that suffering can't compare to what God has for us in heaven. Just keep your eye on that taillight. It's not always going to be this way, but whatever, as bad as it is, that memory is going to fade. Romans 8 says, our suffering now cannot be compared to the glory that is coming to us in God. I want you to think about this as an illustration. This is 2015, right? April 19th. I want you to imagine that the first day of 2015 was just the worst day ever. You know, you fell, you injured yourself, you crashed your car, your girlfriend broke up with you, you got a notification from the IRS that you're going to be audited. Just like the worst day ever. January 1st, 2015. Worst day ever. Disaster. You get evicted. You lose your job. Everything happens on that day. But then starting January 2nd, and every day all the way through the rest of the year, unbelievable blessings start taking place, right? You get like a great job. You marry a supermodel. You know, you win the lottery. Everybody loves you. You know, everybody in your life pitches in and sends you on a Hawaiian vacation for a year, all expenses paid. And, you know, just like every day, unbelievable blessings are taking place, right, for the rest of the year. At the end of the year, now, December 31st, 2015, somebody says to you, so how was your year? Are you going to say it was the worst year ever? Or are you going to say it was the best year ever? That little short moment of suffering, that's a picture of our experience and the way we experience life. Yes, there is pain. But when you look at it in terms of eternity, one day, all this is going to end. And from that moment forward, there will never be any more pain in our lives. Are you going to say now, God, where are you? Or are you going to look back and you're going to say, Lord, you've been good. And your love and your mercy endures forever. God is righteous and he is good. And even in the short moments of our pain, God will give us grace. And those moments won't last, but they will end up being gracious moments. Let me just go, if we can, guys, just to Psalm 34:8. Can we just go to that one? Psalm 34:8, taste and see. Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Oh, the joys of those who take shelter in him. When it's raining, when it's storming, he'll be your shelter. Taste that, see that. If you don't have Christ in your heart, I'm going to urge you this morning to respond to him. In a moment, we're going to pray. We're just going to have a little Holy Spirit time of singing and worship, and just let God's goodness wash over you. If you're hurting today, God's presence will lift you up. Would you stand with me? And musicians are going to come. Let's just have a little time of singing. In a few moments, we're going to say a prayer together. I'm going to ask Pastor Gary to pray for you, but let's just love on the Lord and allow him to heal us this morning. Lord, I thank you for the healing power of your love. I thank you that nothing can separate us, Lord, from that love that is so deep for us in Christ. I pray, Holy Spirit, every person that feels abandoned, wounded, every person that suffers today, let your love come and bring healing in the strong name of Jesus, Lord, right now. Touch us right where we hurt. Pastor Gary, just pray as the Holy Spirit leads you.
Heavenly Father, we come just as we are.
Jesus.
Thank you for your wonderful Son, our Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Because of his blood, we can come to you. and you're our Father now.
Yes.
Not just God, the judge. You are our Father. Mm. And we can approach you. We can come close, really close. In your throne of grace.
Yes, Lord.
Your mercy's released to touch us and minister to us.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Father, for every person right now, they're hurting. They got something deep going on. They've lost a loved one. They miss them so much. Some here have gone through divorces. Something deep has been torn. There's a wound. But Lord, you see that.
Yes, Lord.
You want to heal and touch.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, singles, the enemy attacks our singles. Somehow they're going to miss out on life. They're left out. They don't count. They're never going to have a family. The enemy's lying to them.
Right.
Lord, you know that hurt. That disappointment that's so deep. And thank you that you come.
Yes, Jesus.
And promise that if we would come to you with our mourning, we suffer, we hurt. You promised that your comfort would overshadow our mourning. Mm. Your comfort would get in where it hurts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you would heal.
Thank you, Lord.
And you'd actually reveal yourself in a very special way, a secret way to each one of us. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness and mercy.
Yes, Father.
That's in this house.
Yes, Father.
That is ours.
Yes,
because
Father.
We're the house. Thank you.
Yes, Father.
Spirit of God, for overshadowing everyone in this room right now.
Yes, Lord.
And use us to be healing to those outside,
yes,
who don't
Lord.
Know your wonderful,
yes,
love.
Yes, Lord.
Use us to go.
Yes,
and be your voice and be your hands of blessing. Thank you. In the wonderful name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
What a good prayer. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad we could be together. I want to just invite our prayer teams to come. We're just going to conclude the service here. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to say a prayer with me. But all the folks that are scheduled for prayer, some elders and intercessors here, maybe you just need to check in with someone and just have a moment of prayer. Well, that'd be just fine. We'll pray for you because we love you very much. If you don't have the assurance of salvation, you don't have to leave this building wondering if you're saved, if you're going to heaven. You can know that. I want to invite you to say this prayer with me. It's up on the screen. Let's talk to God. All right? Can we do that? Here we go. Let's say it together. Father God, pray with me. I thank you that Jesus is my Redeemer. I can't see all the reasons for my pain, but I know your love is real. Today, I choose to trust you fully as my Lord and Savior. Use me to comfort others in this broken world, in Christ's name, amen, amen. I love each and every one of you so much. I'm so glad you could come and join us. Don't forget, all the information about our community work day is in the lobby. Please do join us. It's going to be a great time. We'll see you next Sunday for Super Sunday with Chandler and China Cleveland. God bless you guys. You are dismissed. Come and join the folks at the front if you need prayer.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.